might we sing together number 14, Have You Been to Jesus? For the cleansing power are you, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Remain seated, please, number 14. Number 8, shall we gather at His coming when the dead in Christ arise? Shall we hear the Savior's summons to God's home beyond the skies? Daily nearer draws His coming. This makes all His own rejoice. Who are they that fear to meet Him, such as now love not His voice? Number 8. Remain seated, please.
His coming, when the dead in Christ arise, we hear the Savior summons home beyond the skies. Yes, we will gather coming. His glorious coming.
Thank you.
if we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. One more passage, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Beloved friends, you have noticed, no doubt, these scriptures that I read to you tonight in the Word of God have brought before you the fact that the Lord Jesus came into the world. The Lord Jesus is coming in the air, and the Lord Jesus is coming out of heaven. Very solemn, isn't it? And my friend, tonight you are here maybe without Christ, and I want to tell you what I have heard for many years. And many of us, perhaps most of us, have heard these things many times before. And that is this, that you are a sinner, and that God has declared you to be a sinner. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus, when he was here, said so solemnly, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, we're going on to eternity. We're not going to stay in this world. Maybe you have a very nice home. Maybe you have a very good position. Maybe you've got lots of money, but you are going to leave this world. You can't stay here. And I'm sure that every Christian in this room would say, thank God for that. We're not going to stay in this mess which man has made much longer. And we notice in the first verse that we read this marvelous news. You know, we hear lots of people talking today. Some of them tell outright lies. They make all kinds of predictions, and the politicians are telling us that everything is going to turn out all right. Don't get excited. This is only a trend in the times, and we're going to struggle out of this mess we're in. I'm not occupied with that tonight, but I'm occupied with this, that God has declared in our first verse, this is a faithful saying. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing, that in all the mess of this world, which man is making worse every day, that there is a faithful saying? Faithful. You know, sometimes the papers have bad news all the way through. We've sometimes said, every column in the papers, bad news, bad news. Everything's bad in the paper. But here is something that God has told us. This is a faithful saying. You can trust this. You can believe this. This is a fact. This is a God-given fact. The very word of the living God. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. The president of this country, yes. Worthy of his acceptation. The beggar in the dunghill, the poor beggar on the sidewalk, it's worthy of his acceptation. And you, as a middle class, it's worthy of your acceptation. That you accept this message from God. And what is that message? What is this faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptation? It's this, beloved friends, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that a marvelous message? If you were to take that verse home tonight, my friend, and you heard nothing more than that verse, what a wonderful message. What a message of hope and joy and peace for eternity in this sad, broken, sin-cursed, hell-going world, to be able to say Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, thank God he came to save sinners. We read about men going into space and trying to find human life on other planets. But we're not interested in that tonight. Not interested. No interest in that at all. But I'm interested in this. That this planet on which we live has been visited by the Son of God. The Son of God has been here. And here in this verse that tells us why he came into this world. He came into this world to save sinners. Are you a sinner tonight? Then Jesus came to save you. What a marvelous statement, beloved friends. Have you heard this before? Is it possible that you are here tonight and you've never heard this? Now, I know that many Christians would say, well, everybody in the United States of America has heard this. I don't believe that. No, my friends, there's many people right in the United States who have never heard this. They've never heard this good news. And they're saying to themselves, how can I get saved? How can I get to heaven? Maybe there's some tonight, maybe somebody in this room is saying, how can I, a sinner, get into the holy presence of a thrice holy God? How is it possible? And the great leaders of Christendom don't know the answer because they don't know the Savior. Thank God by his matchless grace that back in the year 1930, this poor hell-bound sinner was saved by the grace of God. And my sins, which were many, have been washed away in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that alone can take away sin. Friends, there's no other way of salvation. God doesn't know any other way. The Bible doesn't tell any other way, for there's no other way of salvation than this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now notice, beloved friends, in Luke chapter 2, we won't turn to it, we find how this glorious person, Christ Jesus, came into this world. He came into this world born of a virgin. A virgin. The virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came into this world, beloved friends. He didn't come in just like you and me who began to live at our birth. He came from heaven. Just imagine. The one who made the universe, the one who made everything, himself became a man. Born into this world as a little child, the holy, eternal Son of the living God. What a mystery. Can we understand it? That there at Bethlehem in that manger lay that child, in that manger of whom the Spirit of God has declared in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, among that the name of that blessed one, that he was the mighty God. Think of it, the mighty God. There he was, lying in that manger. That's what God says. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This glorious person, the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, born in a stable, laid in a manger. That's how he came into this world. Beloved friends, do you believe that tonight in this modern age of when man boasts of how clever he is, and when our great leaders say, we don't believe in the virgin birth. That was good enough for our great grandfathers, and for those poor old fellows that never went to school in their lives, and maybe graduated at grade 4 or grade 5, but in this enlightened age where man is wisdom, has all kinds of wisdom, we don't believe that. But I do. I believe in the virgin birth of the Son of God. And I believe he was born into this world, sin apart. And he never sinned, and he couldn't sin. And we thank God for what we heard this afternoon, my friends, that the Lord Jesus never sinned. And the Lord Jesus could not sin because he was God. He was the mighty God. And he came into this world himself. He didn't send an angel. An angel couldn't die for sinners. He came himself because he was the only one who had the right to come. He came here, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Now, every Christian can say that. Every born-again Christian can say by the grace of God that on that cross, the Son of God, the one who made the universe, bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And he was made sin for us, the holy, spotless one. And there on that cross, Jehovah lifted up his rod of judgment and brought it down upon the head of that glorious person who suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And that verse that we know so well and read so many times and hear so many times, which we will never forget, dear Christian, for eternal ages. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, what a mystery. What a mystery. See him. Let us look back. Let us turn back the clock. Let us see that cross standing on Calvary's hill. Let us see that man as we draw near to that cross. And we see that lowly man hanging there. And we gaze upon his face that was beaten by men. And we see their filthy spit running down his face. His face that the hair plucked from his face. What a spectacle for God to gaze upon. For the holy angels to look upon. There the Son of God on that cross. But as the hour of noon came, God wrapped the scene in darkness. We had that this afternoon about darkness. And God wrapped that glorious person from the eyes of man while he bore the judgment which you and I deserve. My friend, tonight I want to ask you this question. I want to ask everybody in this question, including myself. If you had been called by death this afternoon, where would you spend eternity? What a solemn question. I know the devil says, oh, don't get excited about this question. Friends, there's no question more important in all this world than this. Where are you going to spend God's never-ending eternity? You know, we may make a mistake in this life. It may cost us a lot of money. It may cost us a lot of sorrow. It may cost us a lot of pain. But after all, it's only for a little while. But this question, where will you spend eternity? You can't get to the end of eternity. You can multiply the billions by the billions and by the billions and keep on for weeks and months and years. And when you get all finished and have a line that you could never even tell what it was, you haven't even started to scratch the surface of eternity. It's never going to end, my friend, and you and I have to live there forever and forever. In one of two places, one called heaven with Christ and the other called hell without Christ. You've got to decide. You can't decide when you die because there's no second chance. You have to decide in time where you will spend eternity. Your sins can never get into heaven, not even one. Not even one, my friend. Oh, friend, tonight, I would to God we had the power to open your heart, to touch that heart of yours, boys and girls, young people, we pray for you. The children of Christian parents who have been brought up in the broad daylight of the Word of God and tonight are in this room without Christ. Right tonight in this hall, I believe there's young men and there's young women who are on the way to hell, and they know the gospel. They know the gospel. They're more responsible than the people out on the streets here at Toledo, because they have heard it and heard it and heard it, and their gospel hardened, because they say, oh, there's lots of time, lots of time. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the Apostle Paul adds, as led by the Spirit of God Himself, of whom I, the Apostle Paul, I am the chief. Just imagine, what a marvelous message to think that God tells us, and I speak reverently, He tells us this marvelous news that the chief of sinners was saved and is tonight with Christ in the glory. Oh, the devil doesn't like this verse. The devil doesn't like this verse. Oh, the sinner's chief has been saved and is now in glory with Christ. What a wonderful message, my friends, to think of this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, said the Apostle Paul, am chief. Now let us go back to the cross. And we see the blessed Lord Jesus on that cross, with his head bowed in death. Just imagine. Can we understand this? The Creator the maker of heaven and earth, the mighty one, the Son of God, with his head bowed in death on that cross. And the Roman soldier pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You can be saved tonight, my friend. You may be the biggest sinner in America, but God loves you. You may be the most self-righteous hypocrite in the United States, but God loves you. You may be the most religious man or woman in the whole world, but God loves you, and you need Christ. For baptism and confirmation vows and speaking in tongues and all these things, and a good life and a clean life and a self-righteous life will land you in the dungeons of the damned. For there's no salvation outside of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and there's nothing can take your sins away but the precious blood that was shed on that cross. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is God's way. Friends, I want to ask you here, is Christ your personal Savior? Have you ever stood up and spoken well of Christ? Have you ever, to any man or woman or boy or girl in this world, ever said something good about Christ? The Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just imagine, that's what God says. And that's what we believe tonight. That's why we can stand here and say, my sins are gone. Sudden death means sudden glory, because my sins are gone, and the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Is he yours tonight? Is he your personal Savior tonight? Some may have heard this story, but maybe I'll tell it again. I received a letter from I forget who it was from, but inside there was a gospel tract. I had never seen it before in my life. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. And this was the title of that gospel tract. I was Jack Dempsey's sparring partner. Well, I was interested, and I prayed for that man for a long time, that God would save him. And so I wrote to the publisher of this tract, and I asked him, will you please send me the address of the man in the tract whose name was Joe Kurp, K-U-R-P. And he sent me the address, and he lives in California. And I written to him, and he's written to me, and a little while ago, I decided, I hadn't heard from him for a month or so, I decided to telephone to him in California. And we talked together about Christ. And he told me this thrilling story, beloved friends, which I now tell you, of a man who was in the death cell in one of the prisons in the United States. He was going to go to the electric chair. And he said, I went to see him, and I led him to Christ. And he said, the night before his execution, he asked the warden, his last request on earth was that he might have supper with me. And so he said, I went to the prison, and we sat down together. He was eating his last meal on earth. And he said, I stayed in the prison all night. And the next morning, he said, I walked down the corridor to where the electric chair was located. And when we got there, he said there were about 125 witnesses sitting around waiting. And this man, when he got to the door where the electric chair was located, he stopped. And he turned. And he said, "Gentlemen, I want to tell you that God has saved my soul, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that my sins are all forgiven, washed in his precious blood." And then he said, he turned to me, and he waved his hand, and he said, "Goodbye, Joe. I'll be there before you." And in 2 minutes, he said he was with the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous story? Well, you may say, "But I'm not like that man. I never killed anybody. I'm certainly not in prison tonight. I'm not a criminal. I am a good citizen of the United States of America. And there's many just like you." You may say, "I know all about Jesus." I can tell you that story. I know he was born in Bethlehem. I know he performed many miracles. I know he was the Son of God. I can tell you all about him. He died on a cross. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He went into heaven. I know all those things. This is nothing new to me. And I may use this homely illustration, my friend. I've used it before. I have read about the president of this great country. I have read about his upbringing. I've read about his so-called confession of Christ. I've read about how he went into politics. I know all about Mr. Ford. I know all about him because I read about him. But I don't know him. I just don't know him. And he certainly doesn't know me from Adam. You see, friends, you may know all about Jesus. You may know everything about him. But I want to ask you this question. Have you met him personally? Have you had a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does Christ live in your heart? Are you, beloved friend, tonight on the way to heaven? And I want to warn you, dear young people, I was surprised in the prayer meeting down the hall to hear a brother pray about some of the young people who sit in the gospel meeting and laugh and smile. Oh, my friend, tonight I would to God I could bring you into the very presence of God now and see you tremble there in the presence of God. We are living in the very last days, the very last moments, and I'm sure the Christians all over the world are saying, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus," which brings me to that second scripture I read in Thessalonians. It's so solemn, my friend, to think that at any moment, even before this meeting ends, the Lord Jesus Christ may come in the air. Into the air, not to the world, beloved friends, but in the air to call out of this world every born-again Christian. I can't think of anything more terrible than to be left behind. And you, dear young people, who know the gospel, who know the truth, what will you do if you are left behind? Oh, you say, "I heard that years ago." I heard that years ago. I was brought up under the very teaching of that. And it's never happened, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Old Testament prophets told about Jesus. They told about the woman's seed. They told about this blessed one who would come into this world and be born in Bethlehem. And years went on. And it never happened until at last, in Bethlehem's manger lay the Son of God. The scriptures were fulfilled to the very letter. And Jesus said, "I will come again." I tell you, my friend, the devil can't keep him coming away that coming. He's coming again. Just as sure as he came to Bethlehem, he's coming into the air. And it may be tonight that the Lord will come and every born-again Christian will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And as we heard in the prayer room, a brother say, and the door was shut. Heaven's door will be shut forever for you. You will never have another chance. And I can in imagination think of the prayers of the young people that will fall on their knees and cry to God and say, oh, please, have mercy on me. But it will be too late. Too late. You will be left in this world. You know what's happening in the United States tonight. You know, we know in Canada what's happening there. We know our streets are not safe. And we know the worst is yet to come. We're pessimists about this world because the Bible is. The Bible holds out no hope for this world as it is under the power of the devil. You know this, what's happening. What will it be like? I ask you, and I ask everybody, please, to listen to this. I ask you, I beg you, dear young people, don't let the devil close your ears now. What will it be like after the Holy Spirit of God leaves this wicked world and goes back to heaven with the redeemed? And all the Christians are gone. What will this world be like? It will never enter into your mind or mine, because I don't think there's a man in this room or a woman, and including myself, that has the least conception tonight of the wickedness of this awful, wicked, hell-going, satanic world under the power of the devil. We don't even know. We don't even know the beginning of it, my friends. It's so wicked that it can't even be written. It's so bad. This is a wicked world. And you, my dear young person, or older person who are here tonight without Christ, will be left right in this world. Right in this wicked world. Think of it. When tonight the grace of God offers you heaven, offers you Christ, offers you forgiveness, offers you eternal life, offers you joy. There's a little hymn I like to quote part of it. It says, 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. Oh, the joy of knowing Christ, to have Christ. And to think that you, my friend, that we know, that we shook hands with down the hall, left behind. What for? For judgment. For judgment. Not for salvation. But for judgment. Under the judgment of God. Forever and forever. And the Lord Jesus said, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And God loves you tonight. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because he loves you. God wants to befriend you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. And he wants to give you joy on earth and eternal joy in heaven. He offers it freely, without money or without price. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's yours as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't buy a gift. You can't work for a gift. You can't give a cent for a gift. If you do, it's no longer a gift. And God's gift, my friend, God's gift, how God's insulted by man. God says, here's my gift. And man says, I'll give $10 in the collection plate. Maybe that'll help to pay for the gift. My friend, the gift must be accepted and the giver thanked, and God is the giver. Oh, how blessed to be able to say, thank God for the gift, that blessed Savior who loves you and died for you on Calvary's cross. The Lord is coming. But now finally, the verses I read in Revelation 19, are to me extremely solemn. Extremely solemn. You know, this world gets excited very easily. All you have to have is a couple of planes go over your house and get very low, and the roaring of the motors, and everybody gets excited. Or a little earth tremble, and people get so excited. Or a big fire takes place, and everybody gets excited. Oh, they get excited. But you, can you imagine this scene that I just read to you in Revelation 19? Isn't it something, my friend? Just imagine. It's going to happen because God says so. The heaven opened. Just imagine, the heaven opened. And what happens? Out of that heaven comes a man. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine this world astir by that man coming out of heaven, coming down? Friend, think of it. The man of Calvary, the man with the holes in his hands and his feet and the spear mark in his side, no longer crowned with a crown of thorns, but the Son of God in his majesty coming down out of the heavens to judge this world. Oh, the horrors of man as they see the Christ coming down out of the heavens. It's coming, my friends. I say again, the devil can't stop it. There's no power in the world, the atheists and the communists, they can't stop it. Christ is coming again to judge the world, not to save the world, but to judge it. And all these great vast buildings are going to be all destroyed and burnt up. That's what God says. And that's what God means. And that's what's going to happen. Don't let the college professor fool you, my friend, and saying this is a lot of nonsense. This is the word of the living God. And as sure as the sun rose this morning in the east, so sure is this going to happen. Christ, the Lord of glory, insulted by his creatures, is coming back again. And I say again, I can't imagine anything more terrible than this world, men and women gazing up as they see that blessed one in his majesty and power coming to judge this world. Can you think of anything more terrible? Oh, my dear soul, tonight are you saved? Are you saved? I remember when I was a young man, people would give me gospel tracts. I'd pick it up and look at it. Are you saved? Take it, tear it up, throw it in the garbage can. Are you saved? I didn't care. I was on the way to hell. I was going down the broad road to destruction. And God, in his matchless grace, sent across my pathway a man who loved my soul. A man who loved my soul. And for 8.5 years, he talked to me about my soul. Can you imagine that? 8.5 years, a patient, loving, gracious, kind, merciful God waited for a poor, hell-deserving worm of the dust, such as stands on this platform, to accept the dearest friend I have, my precious, blessed, gracious, wonderful Savior. Oh, friends, I tell you tonight, I can't save you. I have no power to save you. But Jesus can save you. He has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Savior will keep that promise if you come to him. You may say, but sir, you don't know how wicked I am, or you wouldn't talk like that. Yes, I do. I know how wicked you are, because God tells you that. And the Lord Jesus opened man's heart up and showed how wicked he was. You're just like me. You've got a wicked heart. It's got murder in it, because Jesus said so. in the 7th chapter of Mark's Gospel. He knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And He loves you. He loves you so tenderly that He's waiting tonight for you to make that decision. I will receive Christ as a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. I will receive Christ, not religion. No, my friend, I wouldn't waste my time preaching about religion. We preach Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ glorified, Christ coming again. We preach not religion, we preach a person. And you need that person. And that person wants you. And He invites you. He says, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it a strange thing? We sometimes sing, angel hosts are musing o'er this sight so strangely sad, God beseeching, man refusing, to be made forever glad. Oh, my dear friend tonight, are you on the way to heaven or hell? You young people in the back there, I know some of you are talking. And God knows you're talking too, but are you saved tonight? Are you on the way to heaven? Are you on the way to heaven? Have you ever confessed Christ? Are you sailing under a sham that your mother thinks, oh yes, my Johnny's saved and my Mary's saved? Why, of course, they always come to all the conferences. But that doesn't save you. You can live in the gospel hall and perish in your sins. You can come to every conference on the continent of America and perish in hell. It won't save your soul. You may know the Bible. You may be able to say, I can quote John 3:16. I can quote at least 100 gospel verses. But that will never save you, my friends. Jesus alone can save. You have to have personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, are you saved or are you lost? There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. Friend, there's two leaders. And I say this, I trust, with respect. There are but two. There's not three. There's one, the Son of God. There's the other, the devil. Now, I may insult you to hear this, my friend, but truthfully, I don't know any other. The Bible doesn't tell us. It says a man cannot serve two masters. There's not three, only two. And Christ is one, and the devil's the other. It doesn't sound very nice, does it, my friend? But I would faithfully warn you tonight in the name of my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not to trifle with the devil any longer. Not to allow the devil to bind you in your sins, young man, young lady, older man, older lady. I ask you tonight, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? There's only the two destinies. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Has He saved you yet? Will you come to Him tonight? Will you, in this world that nailed the Christ of God to Calvary's cross, will you come to that one? You will not gain in your popularity. You will not win any election to become a great man in this world or a great woman. You won't gain a lot of unsaved friends. You won't be invited any longer to their wild parties if you stand for Christ. But you will have something or somebody that will fill your heart with eternal joy and peace and happiness and make you so happy that you'll almost long to die to see His blessed face. You'll pardon a personal reference. I was a young man, 24 years of age, in perfect health, strong, physically strong by the grace of God. But when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, now this may seem strange to you, but I tell you the truth. I wanted to die. Why? To see the face of the man who died for me. Isn't it wonderful, my friend? What God did for me, God can do for you. What the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, He can do for you. But I want to say this, please. To you young people tonight here, I didn't have the chance you had. I never heard the gospel. We sat under the sound of a modernist preacher who was unsaved himself on the way to hell. We never heard the gospel. We never heard about the blood of Christ. We never heard about the grace of God. But you've heard it. You've heard it time and again, and I challenge you tonight, my young man, my young lady tonight, are you going to lose your soul as you see, beloved friends, that awful time of judgment coming on this world? Can't you see it? Can't you hear like a thunderstorm that's coming? We know it's coming. We hear the rumbling of the thunder. We see the flashes of the lightning that's miles away, maybe, but it's coming. We say there's a storm coming. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. I ask you tonight in God's name, can't you hear the thunder of the wrath of God as it draws closer and closer to the United States and Canada? Can't you feel the power of the devil and all the hosts of hell rising up and the wrath of God drawing near to this poor Christ-rejecting world, and you sleep on the very brink of judgment? When God loves you and God has blocked the road to hell by the cross of Christ, will you pass that cross? Will you spurn that love? Will you turn from that grace, that love of God in Christ Jesus, to suffer eternal judgment of which our Lord Jesus so faithfully warned us? In the 16th chapter of Acts, the only man who ever lived in this world drew aside the curtain of eternity. Nobody else could do it but him. And he actually showed us a man in that very place. Friends, it's solemn, isn't it? Are you tonight saved? My message draws to a close. We have tried tonight to point you to the Savior, to a person, to the Son of God, to the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have told you how He came into this world. We told you where He came from. We told you how He went to the cross. We told you He was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father. He went back into heaven as a man. And tonight, as we're here in this room, there is a man at the right hand of God. And if the heavens could be opened up, we would see in the majesty of the glory a man at the right hand of God. And He's my Savior. He died for a poor sinner like me. And I've told you He's coming again, first in the air to snatch away His people. A brother was telling me this on Wednesday of this very week, that He has in His possession the original, one of the original copies of Noah Webster's dictionary. And he said, I looked up the word rapture, and he said it has four meanings, the word. One of the things he told me was this. He said, I can't remember the other two, but one of them was snatched away. And then he said at the end of the Noah Webster dictionary, it says this: I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, if you buy the modern edition or the newer edition of the Webster Dictionary, you won't see that. But he said, I have one of the first copies that was left to me. Noah Webster, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rapture snatched away, and the Lord Jesus is going to snatch away His people and take them into the glory. And my friend, this world is going on to judgment. Judgment. May the word reach down into your heart, young man. We're concerned about you, young people. We pray for you. Maybe there's somebody tonight in this room that's never heard the way of salvation. Let me say before I bow my head in prayer that Christ died for the ungodly. He settled the sin question for eternal ages for every man and woman of Adam's race who have put their trust in Him as Savior and Lord. And He waits tonight for you. Will you take Christ tonight? Will you receive Christ now? He is the Savior of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.